Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It is Dom time. I don't think we've ever had Robbie Suave on the show from Reason.com, Reason Magazine. He is the author, too, of a book I'm fascinated by. You can pre-order it coming out in June. Panic Attack, Young Radicals in the Age of Trump. College campuses erupting in violent protests, demands for safe spaces, silencing of views. Journalist Robbie Suave answers questions by profiling young radicals from across the political spectrum. Millennial activism has risen to new heights in the age of Trump. He was on with Tucker last night. I saw him on with him once before, though, breaking down what we've seen with Jussie Smollett and these just never-ending parade of hoaxes. And I've been linking it this morning to Trump being blamed for what went on over in Montgomery County. And I'll get back to it if you missed the beginning of the show, where 100 people came out last night on a cold night, President's Day, because some alleged KKK flyers were thrown into a dozen places there in Springfield Township over in Montgomery County. And darn it, the politicians there blamed Trump. Robbie joins us here on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Robbie, it's a pleasure to have you, and great stuff with Tucker Carlson.
Thanks so much. Glad to be with you.
Now, last night, the two of you breaking down what we've seen out of Smollett and others, what do you look for when you're looking to see if something potentially is a hoax? To me, it's a language often used in these things, like this is MAGA country. Right away, I'm not buying that unless I see incontrovertible proof.
It's the language, it's the, you know, Occam's razor, the simplest explanation is usually the best one, is often a good guide. You would have had to believe that there were random people out at 2 a.m. in Chicago on, like, the coldest night. It was well below zero. And either they just happened to see him and they attacked him knowing who he was, or because he had actually gotten a letter in the mail, a threatening letter a week before. So that made it, you know, to include that, it would have to actually be some kind of deliberate thing where maybe they were waiting outside his apartment at 2 a.m. in case he just happened to come out. And in fact, he did because he wanted a sandwich at 2 a.m. I mean, that starts to get into just really implausible stuff. So that's why I was skeptical of it. And, you know, I talked to a lot of journalists, even some on the left, who were equally skeptical, but they were afraid to say anything because you know how that goes.
Yeah. Do you think it's fair now? The rear guard action on this are two. One is the first to say, well, these were just people on Twitter, Hollywood activists, actors, and others, not the so-called mainstream media, if there is such a thing, that ran with this to some degree.
There's some truth to that. Because some mainstream, much of the mainstream reporting did hedge appropriately. I mean, you're going to write about this, but you need to say,
right,
you know, allegedly, well, reportedly, and many of them did that. But actually, the problem is the journalists, when then they're on Twitter and they're talking about this story on Twitter, then they're not using those hedges. Then there's a blurring between them and the activists that I think is very off-putting to people in the center and on the right when they see that. It looks like they're sort of in cahoots with the left.
Now, I noticed ABC, other than Good Morning America with Robin Roberts, ABC was the one, the headlines that I started to see, that started to call into question, or at least tell us the police, for their sources, were not buying some of this. So ABC was pretty good on it, I thought.
That's right. And the local reporting, it was a local,
yes,
ABC station, I think maybe a local CBS station, and TMZ, while they kind of started the whole thing, then quickly backpedaled when they obtained new information. So you know, this isn't the most shameful job the media has ever done on one of these cases. It you know, Covington pales in comparison to this. But it is funny, a lot, you know, I think a lot of people, and now you're seeing there was someone in the Washington Post who said, you know, even though I thought it was suspicious, I wanted it to be true because it not being true seems worse. Well, of course, it being true is worse.
Yeah, let's break that down. The argument is they want this, and some of it is to get at Trump, I guess. Some of it is it reinforces their belief that America has significant numbers of this, that it's kind of rife with incidents like this.
Right. Well, and this is something I was talking about on Fox last night, but you know, if you look, so anecdotes never represent a whole at all. I mean, whether this was true or not doesn't tell you anything about whether, you know, hate crimes are increasing or decreasing. You can always find instances of things. It doesn't mean that thing is common. When you look at the numbers, actually, they're very tricky, because even though there was a rise in hate crimes from last year to this year, or from 2016 to 2017, actually, more municipalities reported data to the FBI, which is who compiles the hate crime statistics.
Mm-hmm.
So the mere fact that more people, because it's voluntary, they don't have to do it. Every year, more police agencies participate. So the better job they do of counting it, the more it's going to look like it's increasing, even though it was just being undercounted before. It's only a few thousand figures in a country of millions of people. So it doesn't actually, even though we have statistics, they don't actually tell us anything about, they may make the problem look like it's getting worse, but actually they're just doing a better job of counting it.
Now, Robbie, you with Tucker last night said too, for your money, breaking this down, how confusing these statistics are and small sample sizes, that maybe as much as one out of every other one or one out of two are hoaxes.
Yes. So when I said that, though, I was only referring to the campus cases,
okay.
Many of which are non-criminal cases. I don't think people making false reports to the police is necessarily all that common. But many of these campus cases aren't even things that are necessarily criminal. You know, if you write, you know, a nasty message on someone's whiteboard in a college dorm, for instance, those are often unsolved. But I have seen a pseudo-y scientific survey done by a major media outlet where, again, most of these cases were unsolved. But of the ones they solved, the majority were hoaxes. So that's a small – but really, it's frustrating because we really don't have good data on how many are hoaxes, how many are something else. So it's really hard to say.
Your book, Panic Attack, Young Radicals in the Age of Trump, coming out in June, and the thrust of it, again, is back to college campuses?
That's right. College campuses and beyond. Much of the kind of activism on college campuses that I think is increasingly hostile to free speech and due process and some values that actually liberals used to be all excited about, that has become increasingly prevalent on college campuses, has actually spread to social media, to the workplace, areas where activists on the left, some on the right, mostly on the left, want to spread these values that are actually very different from the values that activists of the 60s and 70s held. And it's moving off the college campuses now. So I talk to these kinds of activists about what their goals are and where they get their ideas and what kind of society they envision creating for the rest of us.
So before that in June, Robbie, your takeaway here with the media, though, I mean, does this help their business? Is that what it is? Covington, I think, is even worse because they're you weren't under the kind of pressure here, I don't think, but the narrative, they just couldn't resist it, and they wouldn't look at the full video, they wouldn't look at all the players here, they wouldn't run down the Native American guy, Nathan, who is apparently a professional protester. I know the black Israelites, what they do here in Philadelphia, a wing of those. They just didn't want to put all that together. That kid and the face that he was making and the MAGA hat was just too tempting.
Exactly. I mean, the problem is that everyone has biases, but and the media, and that includes people in the media, they have biases just like everyone else. But they're supposed to be these objective kind of purveyors of the facts, and they don't often enough. And I'm speaking very generally. You know, some mainstream reporters, of course, do a very good job. But generally speaking, I think they don't challenge their biases enough. I mean, they increasingly live in places like New York and D.C., they're maybe a little out of touch with the millions of Americans who don't have the same kind of lifestyles that they do, and I think they often think the worst of them, or they're very easily able to believe very bad things about them, and vice versa. But they're the ones in the media, so they have some responsibility to not do that.
Absolutely. Hey, Robbie, to be continued when the book comes out. Thank you very much for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Tom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.